You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. This is your host, Lunid Lewis. And today I have the privilege of talking with Sarah Bratzard. She is an author of Inside a Guide to the Resources Within. She is going to discuss today the integration between mind, body, spirit, heart, and how that impacts our life decision, how that impacts our purpose. And she is a speaker, she's a coach, and I'm thrilled and excited to have her on the show. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you, Lunid. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Sarah, I know you are an expert, and we are going to talk about today trauma, transformation from trauma. We are talking about being anxiety-free, physical and mental, emotional strength, all those that you are an expert in. Why don't you jump right in and tell us about your book? This was published last year. You're a new author.
Yes, I am. It was published last August, and it really is an extraordinary thing. It was a healing opportunity for me. It was probably the deepest and most difficult meditation that I ever did. It took me about 5 years to write the book, and through that process, it gave me this opportunity to really reflect back on my own trauma, which happened when I was 13 years old. My mother left our family when I was 13, and my father died when I was 16. So this seemingly very put together family, you know, as a happy life up until that point, broke apart pretty dramatically at that point. And I have spent my whole life, I'm 59, working to forgive and to overcome the imprint that this left on my life at a very young age. So the book is really a culmination of those practices and an explanation really of the process, you know, the validation of being able to accept this grief and own it, you know, that this grief and this trauma will forever be the imprint of your life, but does not have to affect the way you interact with the world for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I love the way you said that, because it's hard for us to encounter a trauma and brush it off.
Because we can't.
It conditions us.
Right.
It conditions us. It like contributes to who we are. It leads us. It could lead us to two paths, right? We can overcome it, or it can actually rule in the direction that we go, and we become just angry, depressed, and anxiety prone, and we don't live a fulfilled life because of it. As a coach, how do people begin to steer towards overcoming trauma?
Well, you know, so one of the things that I am in complete and utter relationship with, Lunid, is this understanding that we don't convert anybody. I'm not in the business of converting, unless this is something that people have come to themselves, like arrived in a place that says, I am unhappy. I recognize that. I have to do something about it. And I am willing to do anything about it that I can, because this is not going to satisfy me for the rest of my life. Once that happens, let's call it an awakening, a shift, a transformation, whatever. That's like the biggest thing I think that can happen to people. And once that has happened, there is this extraordinary drive to change. And what I believe that takes is consistency. So these habits, right, they're deeply embedded in us. And, you know, waking up to them is the first thing. You know, a 12-step program will tell you that, right? That awareness is the first thing. You've got to be aware that there's even a problem, right?
Right.
And so once we have that awareness, we start in a practice of stillness. So I'm a meditator. I teach Kundalini yoga. You know, I infuse Kundalini into my practices with clients and students. But I understand that, you know, that isn't everyone's path. So really, the way that I go with students is to understand where they are. I want to meet them where they are. And from that point, we create a practice. And it can be as simple as 3 to 6 minutes of long, deep breath every morning. That's it. You know, get yourself into a place that feels safe and supportive. Possibly create a little altar with pictures that you love or something that makes you want to return to that place. And then go there every single day. And just watch in a process of like 30 to 40 days what will happen from just doing something like a long, deep breath and journaling about that experience and moving on with your day.
And so a sense of clarity kicks in.
Yeah, I say clarity, and I also like to use the word witness and observer, that there starts to be a keener observation of who you are. And ownership, of course, is a huge part of that, accountability and ownership. You know, that when we have these things appear for us, that instead of actively pushing away, isn't that what people do with these habits, right? They feel uncomfortable. They don't want to be in, they don't want to be there anymore. It's called self-preservation, right? So they adopt habits that aren't supportive of their life. And I believe that what happens even in the simplest of self-care practices or meditation practices is that we start to build this container that feels strong enough to allow these obstacles, these blocks, these habits, these fears to show up, because you are strong enough now to look at them.
Yeah. And before then, we were unable. I read a book called The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer.
Yes. Beautiful. Oh, I've read it. Yes.
And it was mind-blowing. It really talked about the ownership you mentioned, being aware of your thoughts, being the observer of your own thoughts, and realizing that you've let them run you for way too long.
That's right.
It is time that you grab them by the horns and regain your power, because we do have the power to choose how, not just how we live our life, but our thoughts. You know, we become what we think about.
That's right.
And so the meditation that you're mentioning, the practice of having to do the deeply breathing and being aware of ourselves and being still, that's a decision for the better.
Yes, it is.
What does self-care look like in your life?
In my personal life?
Yes.
Well, I would say at this stage of the game that it is completely infused into my life. So, you know, every consideration in my day is one that comes through a lens of self-care. But every morning I wake up early like you, Luneed, maybe not at 4:30. That's super early. But I wake up about 5 and I head over to, I have this writing studio, very small little space. And that's where my altar and my sacred space is set up. And I begin with energy medicine practices. So just to open the body energetically to the work that I'm going to do. So there's a very simple practice. It takes probably about 3 minutes. Then I sit and I open, because Kundalini yoga is my practice, I open with the Adi Mantra. And then I work into some simple opening, physical opening exercises. And then I sit in meditation for about 12 to 15 minutes. I journal. And then I lie in Shavasana for about 6 minutes. And then I close my practice out with a song called The Long Time Sun.
Mm, yeah, that's... That's so great way to start your morning. You are really connected. You are really starting off with the Zen mentality.
That's right.
And how has that given you your life back? Because I know you, with your mom leaving you, there was the abandonment that you had to overcome. Mm-hmm. And then you losing your dad so early on, you at a point felt so alone, felt so misunderstood, and I was wondering why this is happening to you.
Right, right.
So how has the self-care practices, the yoga, the meditation that you've undertaken, how has that given you your life back?
Well, as I say in my book, you know, the book really addresses our life holistically, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. My first breakdowns were physical, you know, at a very young age. One thing I really like to say here, Luneed, is I was really, really, my distractions were to keep my life looking as good as it could. So I didn't want anyone knowing how broken I was. So at a very young age, I became sort of hyper successful. You know, I owned a business at 21. I, you know, had a young family. I found the man of my dreams, who I'm still with, by the way. So what happened was that this facade, this mask became really burdensome. And it started breaking me down. And that really was what got my attention. So, you know, the whole way that this practice, and particularly Kundalini, I say Kundalini saved my life because it has given me such an infrastructure at all levels of strength that it's allowed me to show up again for my life. I mean, I get teary saying it because I truly don't know how it would look if I hadn't gone this way, you know? And of course, you know, I just feel such gratitude. They're tears of joy. And the teachers that showed up on my path, you know, that all these things, the universe really does, universe, God really does want us well. It really does want us whole.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can find the way to secure and make that inner environment safe again, that very naturally our energetic spirit wants to come back in. It leaves when we have trauma because it's not safe to be there anymore. That's the truth of it. You know, something has happened, be it a physical, emotional, mental event that has taken us away. And we actively move away, you know, through drugs or drinking or sex or whatever it might be because it hurts too much to go back in. So I really see the work I do in the world as supporting people in helping them create a safe inner environment so they can return.
Wow. You just described my life because when you talked about the hyper successful and how we mask the pain, we mask the hurt, it becomes burdensome for us. It really hit home for me because I was molested as a child and early on, and it went on for 3 years. And when I came out about it, family didn't even care. And so that actually steered me into the direction of hyper-successful. I became just focused, highly focused on just school and education. I figured if I have control over one thing, it's my education. Because I felt like I lost control, right? Just like you. That was ripped away from us. That was ripped away from me. And I was thinking, yes, the protective mind, the brain goes into a protective mode and says, what can you control? We need to have this control. And so, yes, we mask. We get into drinking. For me, it was heavy drinking for a while. During college, I drank a lot, yes, and even up to years later. Mm. And then something magical happened. The art of forgiveness started to kick in. And that was hard work.
Right.
How do you help others in the forgiveness journey? How can they?
Well, you know, it happens very organically in a process like this when you start to take this tender, loving care of yourself. Because one of the things that happened for me, I'd like it to be known that I am in incredible relationship with my mother now. She is an intricate, important part of my life. So what happens is that, you know, I started to understand that I was very mean to her through that period and cruel. And you know, I could almost forgive her more easily than I could forgive myself for being that way. So what happened for me was that as I started putting this care into, you know, boundaries and speaking and what would make you feel good, Sarah? Now, I know that this is a hard time. What can we do to make you feel better right now? You know, just all actively doing this, you know, every single day, every moment of the day, that I think we open because the facade is a contracted state, right? So let's just say self-care is this opening state. So all of a sudden, it's bigger than us, Luneed. It wasn't me that forgive. It was God that came in and helped. You know, God wants that, right? The universe wants that. So all of a sudden, through this practice of loving oneself, you have this opportunity to open up to the grace of God.
Yes, because you don't forgive. You don't forgive for the other person's sake, but you do for your well-being.
That's right.
to be able to thrive, to live a better and fulfill life. And when that forgiveness took place upon my heart, I felt lighter. It's a burden that was taking off of my shoulders. And you're right, it's not a work that I did on my own. It took a supreme power to actually help me through that. Because, you know, the family is an organization. It's a unit. It's your first interaction to an organization. Before you go off to work, before you deal with anybody else, like friends and coworkers, that unit needs to be strong. And if it's broken, you start off broken.
That's right.
And it takes some time to heal, and the mending process to take place. So thank you so much for sharing that and actually getting me to come out, because I realized this, you're talking about something very similar I encountered.
Yes.
At a very young age. And I tell you right now, I went ahead to pursue a master's degree, and I have now my PhD. It didn't stop.
Wow. It's fabulous. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I want to actually talk a little bit about the holistic healing approach to your book. Why is it so important to long-term well-being?
So this book is really, it starts at a foundational level. It's very easy to interact with. And the reason that I broke it up like that is because we don't live in one aspect of our life. Well, you and I might have, right? We were living in our mind. Our mind said, control the events of your life. And that's what we did. But then things start to happen, right? At the physical level, or the emotional level, or the spiritual level. So my book is really this understanding that we live, in order to be super successful, we've got to lay the ground for understanding and relating to all of what I call the elements, you know, the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, that they none exist solely alone. All of them interact with one another at one level or another. So my book is really, let's pay attention and get into relationship with all of these systems, all of these elements, and the practices that are in the book really support that happening.
Yes, and I will have the link at the show notes later on so that the audience can actually know where to find your book.
Fabulous. Thank you for that.
My pleasure. So you talked about briefly about your morning routine, and I want to get into that right now. And your effective morning routine, I know you do a lot of meditation and yoga. What are some of the practices that you are known for? It's simple. Do these practices and you'll see how they work. What are these three practices?
Well, you know, I guess that's a bit complicated for me because I meet people in different places, you know, so there is a level of intuiting where somebody is and what they can interact with. I would say breath is an extraordinarily important thing to get into relationship with. And doing that, you know, the long, deep breath. And I'd like to just point out that all of these resources are on my website. It's a driving mission for me that this information be available to people, you know, that they have it, it's free, it's there, if they're interested. But breath would definitely be one. Yogic breath, right? So you're inhaling and expanding the belly and exhaling and bringing the belly towards the spine, the proper, really life restoring breath. Of course, physical movement is a huge thing. You know, how are you moving? Is it a walk in the morning? Yoga is my thing, but I don't like to impose that on everyone. It just works for me. And then if yoga is not your thing, what about taking a walk and breathing with each step consciously, right? And if I had to put a third one in there, I'd say nature. Get yourself into nature. Just get out there and spend time in nature.
I love that. It's those are well encompassing three things, because nature is important. That walk is already being part of nature. Studies show that being out with surrounded by plants or even flowers just relaxes us, relaxes
yes.
you, and then brings that sense of calmness into our day. So love that you share it. And you do walk your dog quite often.
I do. I love walking my dog for sure.
Absolutely. Sarah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for sharing with us the insights on trauma and the importance of transformation. And for your book, we will check out your book. I will put it on the links below. I would love to know, I know you have a website and you have a one-on-one, you do one-on-one with others and you do some coaching. Tell us, how can we connect with you?
Well, everything you need to know is on my website, and that's sarahbrassard.com. Pretty simple. And, social media, I have a big following on Instagram and Facebook. And of course, if there's anything that I could answer for anyone, please feel free to email me at sarahbrassard.com.
Very good. And your socials, they are your name, yeah? Instagram and Facebook.
They are. Yes, they are.
Perfect. Sarah, we thank you so much for joining us and dropping the knowledge. We appreciate you and thank you and have a blessed day.
Oh, you too, Luneed. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, morning enthusiasts, it's time to listen up. As you know, I am a big fan of books. I strongly believe you gotta feed your mind. I personally read over 50 books a year. How, you may ask? I listen. I listen to audiobooks, the quickest and fastest way to consume content. Audible and I are offering you a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/BMRever to get yours. It's that simple. Sign up and I will see you at the top of your best morning routine ever. Stay blessed.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.